Yes, that's exactly one of the issues that Japan would like to act in a positive manner. So Japan and ASEAN have been proud of having become the trusted partners based on the 50 years of friendship and cooperation. The major pillar or the background of this trusted partners relationship is people-to-people exchange. But at the 50th year of our relationship is partnership to co-create a future with the next generation. That's World Project 2.0. So that is we doubled the amount of a cultural and intellectual exchange program. And that 40 billion Japanese yen is equivalent to more than $250 million in the next 10 years. So with that, we are going to increase our cultural exchange as well as intellectual exchange. One important thing is that more and more ASEAN academics will study in Japan as well as the vice versa. This is a two-way exchange.
Southeast Asia's dynamics is ever evolving, with competition intensifying between the U.S. and China. In your view, is ASEAN a battleground?
Well, ASEAN has long managed any sort of big power rivalries for decades. And Japan has been always supporting ASEAN's maintaining peace and promoting prosperity. And one big initiative that ASEAN undertook to address this challenge of rivalry is ASEAN Outlook on the Indo-Pacific, AOIP, in 2019. And it was in the next year, in 2020, that Japan became the first country at the summit level to fully express full support to this AOIP. So this Indo-Pacific, which make this region, Indo-Pacific region, a place from the place of rivalry, the place of dialogue and cooperation. And Japan is fully supporting that initiative, and I believe that Japan can be instrumental in making that happen.
How then does Japan strike a balance in its role?
Japan is in a good position to address such a challenge. You know, maybe like ASEAN, Japan has a good relationship with key companies, partners. Obviously, the U.S., for example, and the countries in the region, all ASEAN countries, and in relation to China, we have, of course, challenges, and we are squarely facing those challenges. The relationship of between China and Japan is characterized by mutually beneficial relationship based on a common strategic interest. We are working to promote a constructive and stable relationship. So I think Japan can be one of the major countries which can support ASEAN's efforts to enhance stability and peace and prosperity in this region.
ASEAN countries see China and its economy as crucial to their future. How concerned is Japan about China's potential dominance?
The key point is that the ASEAN maintaining the central position, ensuring, as I said, the rule-based international order, which is good for not only ASEAN, but also all the countries in this Indo-Pacific region. So as the key point is for all the countries to abide by international law. And if there are any activities which are against international law, persuading such countries and activities to be stopped or refrained from. So in that way, all the economic activities can benefit the entire region.
As a trade-dependent nation, how concerned are you about President Trump's tariffs on U.S. trade?
As we observe the developments, we respond in a proper manner. I think it's premature to see any individual actions, or we need to really first observe the developments. Otherwise, we cannot make a proper, effective response.
Could we see Japan taking on a leadership role in free trade amid the threat of tariffs and rejection of multilateral institutions by the U.S.?
Well, I think there's a RCEP, that's a reciprocal trade agreement of this region. So I think I myself am working very hard to really enhance some economic collaboration. And that's what I'm really focusing on. I would say two areas are digitalization and decarbonization. And I think probably the biggest initiative at the moment is an Asia zero emission community approach. I think we engage as so many ASEAN countries and to make a practical approach, supporting country-based efforts for decarbonization while ensuring energy security and energy's affordability as well, and also decarbonization. And also in the field of the IT, cybersecurity, AI, and the digitalization of micro, small, and medium-sized enterprises.
Issues like coal dependency and funding are major challenges for ASEAN countries when it comes to energy transition.
Three things: the regulatory framework, finance, and technology. Those three need to be concretely addressed. Japan is in an ideal position. Japan worked so hard in the latter half of the last century for ASEAN's flying geese economic development, supporting supply chains and supporting manufacturing industry, connecting all the countries in ASEAN. So that's why ASEAN has come this far. So we are quietly proud of Japanese companies' contribution. That is the background of the trust that ASEAN gives us. Then what we are doing now is to make that again, this very important to address this very important challenge of energy security and decarbonization. How to do it in this ASEAN environment? So first, country-based approach is most important. No straitjacket solution. So each and every country needs to really analyze the situation and have a tailor-made program which will be financed, properly regulated, and then with a latest technology to substantiate those ideas. You know, Japan had them.
Issues like overfishing, habitat degradation, and marine pollution pose significant threats to ASEAN's blue economy. How is Japan helping to overcome these obstacles?
It was 2 years ago in 2023 that the ASEAN leaders adopted this ASEAN Blue Economy Framework with the support of ARIA, which Japan supports. And so building on that leader's Blue Economy Framework, Japan, in collaboration with the ASEAN and the UNDP, launched the Blue Innovation, Blue Economy Innovation Project, whereby we solicited proposals from all ASEAN member states and Timor-Leste to promote marine-related economic activity and social activities, tourism, fisheries, and a decarbonization and a circular economy, including marine plastics. And more than 1,300 application proposals came, and among them 60 across ASEAN members, ASEAN and Timor-Leste were selected. It was just this week that they showcased their concrete activities in front of the investors, including Japanese companies. I'm very much hoping that those innovations across ASEAN will be fully supported by many Japanese private sector, so that their concrete ideas, activities, address those challenges will be scaled up for the benefit of ASEAN in Japan and the region and the world.
The 2025 World Expo is just around the corner, and it's going to be the first international expo held in Japan in 20 years. How important is this event for Japan?
The Expo 2025, Osaka, Kansai, Japan, will be held from April to October this year. So many ASEAN countries, as well as ASEAN itself, are establishing their pavilions to showcase their values and beauties and attractiveness. Is that related to that your very first question, how to enhance understanding about ASEAN among the Japanese people? So I'm hoping that this event will be another opportunity for ASEAN to just make ASEAN known to Japanese people. And our mission is working with the ASEAN Secretariat to help them establish and operate the ASEAN Pavilion. And I look forward to their activities throughout the period.